You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now present The School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. And we're so blessed to have them. We're so blessed to have Radio Maria. Thanks be to God for everything that we have and will have in our lives. We're going to begin with prayer. We're going to be using a supplication that we've been using. It's from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. This is the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. You know, I love that supplication when we're explaining to Our Lady and referencing that today you are rejoicing. It seems that you wish to confide something yet more surprising. You know, our Blessed Lady talks about secrets. And you know, when we talk about secrets, usually we're meaning it with a nefarious reason. You know, we're keeping a secret from somebody. But our Blessed Lady tells us in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom that a secret is an irresistible need of the heart to know. So the secrets are being divulged by Jesus, by His Blessed Mother now, because they have disposed us to receive it. They have prepared us to receive it. And with that preparation, they are now going to take us over the top. Now we're going to enter into that different zone, that different dimension. God is going to take us out of time and bring us into eternity. I mean, when I listen to myself, it sounds like I'm insane, but I'm really not. Well, at least I don't think I am. This is the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. And it's so difficult. Father Iannuzzi made a statement once that's so profound. He says, the divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but is very easy to understand once we accept it. Because it's in our fiat, it's in our acceptance that we're given the grace and graces in order to understand it. We can't do this with our human intellect. It's finite. It's limited. But with God's infinite wisdom, with His one act, when His one dimension, when His one everything, He's inviting us into that. And all we have to say is yes. And then we figure out how to do it. And we don't really have to figure it out. God's going to explain to us. So with that being said, I'm going to bring in the sisters in Italy. Hello, sisters. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello. How's everybody? We hope you have a good week.
Everything is great. I mean, we woke up. I mean, things are going haywire a bit in the world. Sometimes in our church, sometimes in politics and in our families, but we know that God is in control. And again, he tests us. He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to believe. You know, what is faith? Faith is a belief when logic sometimes dictates otherwise. I mean, look at what was happening, and everything was spiraling out of control, as it would appear. And then all of a sudden, the reversal of Roe versus Wade. God shows His might. He flexes His muscle for that moment to say, I'm here. Don't worry. In fact, He says in the volumes, evil will exhaust itself. So they're running toward that right now. And as long as we don't run with them, we're going to be okay. St. Cyril of Jerusalem, he had a beautiful quote. St. Cyril told us, and I presume he was mentioning this and stating this because of difficult times or in difficult times. St. Cyril says, quote, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church, end quote. And that's what we have to do now. We have to sort of, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we have to choose and pick our friends, our colleagues, our coworkers, whenever we can, especially when it comes to bringing us down our faith or moving us away from our faith inadvertently, unknowingly, or intentionally. We don't know. We can't be the judge of what's in somebody's heart, but we have to make sure that we know what we want and we keep our eye on the prize, as St. Paul says. Sisters, great to have you. Oh, sister, I wanted to open up with something really, really important. And just one line, just one single line I'd like to start with. I was just thumbing through the volumes. And again, it doesn't matter really, in my opinion, where you start, because the volumes, the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, the Hours of the Passion, everything that Louisa wrote, St. Hannibal wrote, they're all windows and doors into this giant mansion of God called the divine will. It doesn't matter how we get in. In fact, usually when God sort of closes the door on us, his mother opens a window and we can climb in through that. So this one line came from volume 13, June 12th, 1921. One line, quote, "Know that your life must be the fiat," end quote. Our life must be yes. Our life must be not our yes, but God's yes. And how do you say yes to God when you're not sure what you're saying yes to? Well, we believe in God, we trust God, we love God. We don't have to figure out right now how he's going to do what he wants to do, but we have to accept that he's going to do it and that he loves us very much. This is the reciprocal of love. And as we spoke about off air, Sister Magdalena, love calls love. And that's exactly what he's doing with his gift of living the divine will.
Yes, and that very simple sentence that you just said, Peter, is packed with a lot of things about the divine will, packed with beauty. And I would start with one word, and that is life. Life is amazing. When God talks about life, he's not just talking about he's just not talking about souls, he's not just talking about spirit, but life in a fullness of sense, human life, is composed of flesh and blood and acts and thoughts, meaning the soul and the flesh united. And if I may, Peter, when this line that you mentioned, if the paragraph prior to that one, I will just read a few of it, because this, it would give to the point what I'm trying to say here. Jesus tells Louisa, "My beloved daughter, birth from my will. I do not want you sky studded with stars. I would like it. I would find my work, but it would not satisfy me, because I would not find myself. Nor do I want you sun. Though I would find delight in it, I would find the shadow of my light and of my heat, but not finding life, I would pass over you. Nor do I want you flowery earth with flowers, plants, and fruits, although it might please me, since I would find the breath of my fragrances, traces of my sweetness, the mastery of my creative hand. In some, I would find my works, but not my life." So in other words, you know, as beautiful as the sun is, as beautiful the flowers in the field, sometimes I feel envious of them. When I look at how beautiful the creation, I'm like, I wish I'm as beautiful as this. But really, if I have to look at within myself, God created me more beautiful than any of these combined, because I not only that I have the physical body, but I also have this soul that is in the image and likeness of God. And based on what I've learned in the past, if I remember it well, a human being is created with intellect, memory, and free will. We call it the human will. And all of these combined, we can exercise the love, all the attributes that God, based on our desire, on our dispositions, or combined with the knowledge that we have, where God can expand in our life, then we can really return love for love. Like you mentioned, Peter, love for love, life for life. In other words, it's the covenant relationship with God. It's a familial relationship. This is a marriage of the soul and God. It's like Louisa, marriage with Louisa and God. And we are called to all of this. And in this marriage, it has to have everything. And I have a passage here that I would like to share with you, which is also kind of like on the same thread as this one. And I found it in volume 36, May 17, 1938. I'll start with the paragraph. It's kind of long, so I'll just read to you the highlighted lines that I did, found here in meditation. And Jesus tells Louisa, in fact, we may...
I think you froze a bit, sister, in Italy. I know they were having some internet problems earlier today. Yeah, we're talking about this, and it's God finding himself in us. You remember, we're created in the image and likeness of God. And God has created all of creation for our benefit. And what is our greatest benefit of all of creation? Yes, it's beautiful to have the shade of the tree and the warmth of the sun and the refreshment of the water. But it's even more important to recognize through the water, through the sun, through the tree, that God is everything. He is everywhere, and he loves us very, very much. So it's almost like a subtle reminder that we've got all these reminders everywhere we go, no matter where we are. We can be in bed looking out a window. We can be in bed looking at the ceiling. Everything that we have, everything that we've created or man has created has been, if it's good, of course, has been through the benevolence of God himself. I think we're back now, sister. Go ahead.
Sorry, I don't know where I stopped. But anyway, what I was trying to say earlier was that the Lord, our life, he gave us, you see, like Father Yanuta said, it's hard to explain, but once you get it, so the Lord does in many ways explaining to us just to help us understand the divine will. And in this particular passage that I was reading earlier, I don't know which part you missed me, but basically God is comparing us to a musical instrument. Imagine a piano. Our body, our flesh, is like the piano that God can play. Are you okay? Are we here? Okay.
So, yeah, we're good. I'm not good, but we're good.
Yeah, but it's kind of like the musical instrument, you know, the organ or a flute, whatever musical instrument you're playing. And the music are all these acts. You know, God is the author. He's the divine will. And the music that he plays is like the acts that we do, our heartbeat, our breathing, our palpitation, all of that we do as human beings. This is the divine will acting in us. But he cannot do these acts without our body. That's why acts is very important. Walking, our flesh needs to be there to walk. Our flesh needs to be there to work. Our heart, flesh needs to be there to palpitate. Our lungs needs to be there to be breathing. But what good is the lungs without the soul, without God making it breathe? But how good is breathing without the lungs? So it has to have both. And that is living in the divine will, is calling out the divine will in order for this to be manifested, to be fulfilled, to be completed. Yes. Jesus came to the world, the Word made flesh, to complete. And it is complete. It's been completed by Jesus, in Jesus Christ, but it's not completed in us, his creation. Because according also, I read a passage in the past that Jesus in creation, that is us, he continues his work in us. He continues his work. Saint Paul was saying that too. And it is his nature is to give his love, spilling love over to creation, and that is us, out of love, out of his bosom, and he continues his work. It never ends. Without us, you know, it's not going to be giving him satisfaction.
Because that's his will. That's his will. And, you know, you mentioned that, and it's very, very important to understand also that, you know, you mentioned about the flautist. To blow a sweet note with a flute, you have to make sure that the spit receptacle is emptied first. So we have to empty ourselves of all this spit, for lack of a better word, empty ourselves of all we've accumulated, and now allow God to fill us with himself, which is what the intention was.
Yes. And I continue here. And he said, my daughter, if creation had to give us only what is spiritual, you mentioned about waking up spirit and body, right? So he said, my daughter, if creation had to give us only what is spiritual, that would have been very little. Instead, by giving us also its natural acts, the act of waking up, the act of getting out of bed, the act of standing up, in divine will, it can always give. We can be in continuous relation and our bond never breaks. More so, since the small things, breathing, moving, helping oneself, little personal things are always available and within reach, available for the little and the great, for the ignorant and the learned. And they never end. If these little things are done to love us, they form in themselves the life of the divine will, our victory and triumph, the ultimate purpose of their creation. See then how easy it is to live in our will. The creature doesn't have to do new things, but just what she always does. That is to say, to live her life as we gave it, but in our will. So let it be. Be a human being, not just human doer, but being all that is us. Everything, our tears, our joys, even our weaknesses, offer it up to the divine will. Our faults, God can correct that. We can just have to offer it up to him. We don't have to pretend about somebody else. no more, just be ourselves. And then I continue towards the end here. He said, my good daughter, my love wants to be tied more and more to the creature. And the more truth it manifests regarding my will, the more bonds I put between God and herself. In manifesting the truth, my love is preparing the marriage between God and the soul. The more it manifests, the more pomp and magnificence this marriage will have. Would you like to know what happens then? My truth will be like the dowry needed in order to marry God, to get to know the one who lowers himself and even ties himself only for love in the bond of marriage. My truth touched the creature over and over. They mold her to new life. They return her to the beauty of our image and resemblance from time she was created and impress on her the kiss of inseparable union. And then down here he said, therefore, hiding a truth that will give from our paternal womb. Now he mentioned the word womb here, with so much love, is the greatest crime. So if we hide this truth, it is the greatest crime. It deprives human generations of the greatest good. Further, one who lives in our will by marrying us makes a feast of all saints. So Peter, living in the divine will is the ultimate gift. It is exactly the fulfillment, the completeness of God's desires for all of our life. Any sisters want to add to that?
I did want to just chirp in really quickly. You mentioned a really important part when you said that we have everything already. We have everything. Everything's been given to us that is necessary for our salvation. But as Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for what's already been given to us to be better understood throughout the generations. An explication, in essence, of what's already been given. That's what the divine will is doing. You know, Jesus told us, I think it was in Matthew's gospel, that he said, you know, there's much more I have to tell you, but you're not yet ready. You're not yet disposed. It's not time. Now is the time. Jesus says that, not it's not you and I, sisters, saying it's time. Jesus, his blessed mother, says the time is now. No time to waste. Sisters?
Yes, well, just while listening, Sister Magdalena, it came to my mind, how God is like disposing our souls to be married with him. And like really, he doesn't want us to be like robots, like slaves, you know, just the... because he could have just done that, you know, like, but nobody wants to be, you know, to marry someone by force. And that's why he gave us our free will to freely give it to him, offer it to him. So, I mean, I was just reading in one passage how Jesus was explaining to Lisa how when the Mary and Joseph were knocking at the doors of the people of Bethlehem, and they rejected them, like everybody rejected them, to stay in the house. They needed to stay in a stable. So Jesus didn't force anyone. Like if the soul is not ready, the people really don't want. He just passes in a front. But yeah, then he still says, you know, but the people of Bethlehem, yeah, who rejected them, like, I mean, he says, like, the nature turned against them, like, the plants didn't grow, something like that, he says. But however, he always leaves us free, you know, and we can experience that also, like, I mean, for example, like you are advising a person that it's obviously doesn't doing the right thing, but however, that person does the wrong thing, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it. And then I was just thinking how here Jesus is experiencing in us also this sadness when, you know, he gives us everything, but however he leaves us this free, you know, free choice. That's why also hell exists, because mm-hmm. God is so good to mm-hmm. us that yeah. you know he lived really everyone free, you know, to yeah. choose to stay with him or not. That's why he also created hell. I mean, at the end, out of love, however crazy it sounds. So then I was just reading from the volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. Abandonment in God is the wings in order to fly together with the divine will, what eternity is. So I said, but tell me, my love, what does eternity mean? And what is this eternal realm? And Jesus added, my daughter, eternity is an immense circle, such that one cannot know either where it begins or where it ends. In this circle, there is God, without beginning and without end. And there he possesses infinite happiness, beatitude, joys, riches, beauty, etc. At each divine motion, which never ceases, he issues new happiness, new beauties, new beatitudes, etc. from this circle of eternity. But this new act is an act that is never interrupted, though one is different from the other, distinct among themselves. Our contentments are always new. Our beatitudes are such and so many that while we are enjoying one, another surprises us. And it is always so, and they never end. They are eternal, immense, just as we are. And what is eternal has the virtue of making ever new things arise. What is old, things that are repeated, do not exist in what is eternal. But do you know who it is that in heaven shares more in this newness, which is never exhausted? One who has practiced more good on earth. This good will be like the seed which will bring her the knowledge of our beatitudes, joys, beauty, love, goodness, etc. And depending on the good which the soul has practiced on earth, which is in some harmony with our varied beatitudes, she will come closer to us and will fill herself in large gulps with that beatitude whose seed she contains, to the point of overflowing outside. She will share in everything that the circle of eternity contains. She will be filled with it in place of the seeds acquired on earth. It will happen as to one who has learned music, a job, or a science. When music is played, many listen and enjoy. But who understands? Who feels all those notes of joy or of sorrow penetrate into his intelligence and descend into his heart? Who feels as though being filled and seeing in act the scenes which that music expresses? One who has studied, one who has worked hard to learn it. The others enjoy, but do not understand. Their enjoyment is in what sounds to their hearing, but their whole interior remains empty. The same for one who has learned sciences. Who enjoys more? One who has studied and has worn out his intelligence over books, or many scientific things, or one who has only looked at them. Indeed, the one who has studied can earn fair profits, can occupy distinct positions, while the other one can only enjoy with his sight if he sees things related to sciences. The same with all other things. If this happens on earth, much more so in heaven, where justice weighs with the scales of love every little good act done by the creature, and on that good act places an unending happiness, joy, and beauty. Now, what will it be for the soul who has lived in my will, in which all her acts remain with an eternal and divine seed? The circle of eternity will pour itself upon her to such an extent that the whole celestial Jerusalem will remain stupefied and will make new feasts and will receive new glory. This passage really reminded me, how Sister also mentioned before, how important, is knowledge about the divine will, but also how Jesus explained to Lisa, how will it be in heaven? Who will enjoy more, who has really concentrated himself more on that. And this reminded me, one very close person once told me about one dream. I think it's really about the Holy Spirit. So that person was in heaven and seeing on a large screen, history of salvation, everything from past, present, and future, and how there are a large group of people, a huge amount of people were there, and everybody was looking where they themselves kind of added to that salvation history. And that person said it was like remarkable how not really the things that you think you succeeded in doing were the ones that counted the most, but the things that seemed like you were in difficulty and desperation, but still you did an act of abandonment to God, like, but you were not really succeeding in anything, like, that were the things that helped, you know, the most. Yeah, thank you.
No, thank you, sister. I actually love that passage. It's a great explanation. You know, basically, on a whole, you know, we may say that living in the divine will means reigning with Jesus, while doing his will means complying with his orders. And we can use another image. We may also say that living in the divine will means living as a son, while doing the will of God only means living as a servant. No one can deprive a son from the rights he has of his father's goods. It's possible to understand how this living of the divine will is very similar to the life of the blessed in heaven. The question, though, is how can a human creature not only do the will of God, but even possess it as his own? Well, our Lord explains to Luis and explains to us his plans, solemnly declaring that this is a gift he has decided to do and give in these very sad times. And love calls love. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Here, I'm free to dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. And again, thank you, Radio Maria, for this opportunity to bring you the gift of living in the divine will. You know, before the break, we were just talking about that Jesus has decided in these times so sad to give us this gift. You know, love calls love. You know, and we have the understanding that Jesus, for 2,000 years, well, actually for 6,000 years, has given us everything that we need. Everything. We just talked about that. We have everything necessary for salvation. And now God is giving us a way to show us how the reciprocity of love can sort of crowd out that human will that's been so disformed, so disfigured over the course of centuries. And, again, it's just like, it's not magic. It's just like baptism. When the Holy Spirit comes in baptism, it comes in, it crowds out original sin. So God is coming into us now and he's crowding out our human will, getting it out, flushing it out. All that is not good, all that is not needed is just put aside and hopefully locked away forever. And again, it takes time sometimes, or it can be immediate, but we have to make sure that we want this gift. Again, everything is predicated on desire. God's grace and graces, the amount of them will be given basically predicated on our desire. Remember, this is a mystical gift. And we recognize that mystical gifts are not given equally like baptismal gifts. God gives mystical gifts to whomever he pleases, when he pleases, to what extent he pleases. All of us have received at least one. I'm sure we've all received numerous. But the one that we know we've received is we can look at the divine will and say, this is something out of the ordinary. This is something extraordinary. This is something never before given. And once we acknowledge that, we have faith, trust, confidence, hope, and love in God. He's going to show us the way of grace and graces. Remember, let's go back to Father Nuzzi. It's easy to understand once we accept it, because once we give our fiat, like Our Lady, when Our Lady said, yes, fiat mihi, everything was given to her. Everything was done for her. The same will happen for us. I mean, not like our Blessed Mother, but everything will work out. We're going to figure out how to do this. How do we give up? How do we yield our human will to God's most holy divine will? We can't figure that out on our own, but through God's grace, we will be able to do it. God guarantees it, and he does not go back on promises, not like us, sister.
Well, Peter, I wanted to go back to your opening passage today, what you picked. And I came across this reading from volume 28. It's from July 9th, 1930. I'm going to skip the first two smidges of paragraphs, and I'm going to go to the first main paragraph, so really the third paragraph. Jesus is speaking to Luisa, and Jesus says, "You must know that as the human will enters into the divine, our light invests it and embellishes it of a rare beauty. The soul remains so identified that she does not feel a stranger with her creator. On the contrary, she feels that she is all of the supreme being, and the divine being is all hers. And with the freedom of a daughter, without fear and with enrapturing trust, she rises into the unity of the will of her creator. And in this unity, the atom of the human will emits her, I love you. And while she forms her act of love, all the divine love runs, surrounds, embraces, transmutes itself into the I love you of the creature. It makes it so great, for as great as is our love. And we feel in the little I love you of the creature, the fibers, the life of our love. And we give it the value of our love and feel in the little I love you, the happiness of our love. This little I love you no longer goes out from within the unity of our volition. And while it remains, it spreads so much within the orbit of the fiat that it does nothing but follow the divine will everywhere. And so with all the other acts that she intends to do in our will, you must think that a creative will enters into the act of the creature, and therefore it must do worthy acts as those that a divine will knows how to do and that are befitting to it." So what struck me, what made me think about that passage she picked is it shows how the beginning, how the human will, you know, it's like human and everything, but then once it comes in contact with the divine will, accepts the divine will and admits the I love you, she does not feel a stranger with her creator.
On the contrary, she feels that she is all of the Supreme Being. So already right there, it's like a transformation. It's a completion in a sense, because of original sin, we're lacking something. We're diminished in a sense, like the light is gone from us. We were all invested in light. Well, the light went out. So here, the fact that it says like the human, it doesn't feel like a stranger anymore. It's like reunited. It's transformed. It's back to where its origin was. And that was what with the passage that you have picked, it said that, you know, once your fiat, my fiat issued in you, you must walk the field of life upon the wings of the same fiat, get where the seed of the divine will, to be able to form more I love yous and acts and rounds on the earth for it to be returned to God's honor and glory. So that's what this passage struck to me here, is that it shows literally how it works. It's like a step-by-step good analysis for someone who doesn't understand or doesn't know about it. It shows, like, you know, you're incomplete. But then once you're in the divine will and you accept the divine will and you say your I love you and your acts and your rounds, you're transformed. You're with the divine will and we're whole again. Like we're having just a sample, a glimpse of what it is like in heaven, where everyone is living in the divine will and they're all invested in light again. And then it shows here how Jesus, again, like for us humans to be able to understand, even that doesn't even give justice to what really goes on with the divine will. Jesus explains what God is feeling, like what does he see when we do this? So anyway, I just thought that this is a really good passage to explain to someone in terms of to give more information about the divine will.
No, it is. And you know, how do you effectuate change? You know, we have to start the process and then God's grace completes it, of course. But you know, we have to start sort of swimming against the grain, going against the current, sort of like salmon going to lay their eggs. You know, we have to begin to apply what Jesus and our Blessed Mother are teaching us. And as we do that often, it's going to become natural to us. And then when it becomes natural, it's going to evolve into a second nature. We don't have to think about it. And then when it becomes our second nature, eventually it will become our nature. And that's the fallen nature that we lost with Adam's sin. You know, you mentioned about, you know, we're being reunited. We're being taken back from exile. We're now giving glory and honor and love to God on the level of God, due to God. That's the big differentiator. We can say, I love you, God. But unless we're fused in his will, we will not be giving him his love due to him on the level that we have to give to him. Only one way, and that's through the divine will. And again, it sounds so incredible, but yet we have to trust God that, okay, God, you say this is going to happen. I trust you. I believe in you. I don't know how you're going to do this, but give God a chance. I mean, how can we limit God by saying, well, I don't know, God, I'm not sure if you can do that. I mean, in the times we're in right now, I mean, really, we can even say to each other, what do we have to lose? Give God a chance. I guarantee you give God the opportunity to work in each and every one of us. He's going to work wonders, and we're going to eventually recognize it and never want to go back to that land of exile. Sisters?
Yeah, before we were talking about this marriage between God and man, and God is truly our bridegroom, and we are all his brides in spirit. And the marriage between, it was already made between God and humanity at the beginning of creation. We lost it, this intimate relationship with God because of the fall, the original sin, by choosing to do our human will. But in spite of this, God still, his love for us hasn't changed, and he still remains hidden. He's waiting for us and to change and be united again with him, with the bond of marriage. When Jesus came to the world and when he formed a new engagement with our humanity on the cross, so everything he suffered and did throughout his life up to dying on the cross, it was all the preparations in order to carry out the desired marriage in the kingdom of the divine will. So now the knowledge about the divine will, it's the pledges and gifts that are to be exchanged. And all he wants from us for exchange is our poor human will. So this Bible verse from Isaiah chapter 62, verse 5, it came to my mind. It's like a young man marrying a virgin. your builder will marry you. As the bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so will your God rejoice in you. So there was a little share about the marriage between God and man. And my passage is from volume 24, June 20, 1928. My daughter, what is done in my divine will encloses an incalculable value. It is as if the soul had two scale pans in her hands, placing in each pan an object of equal weight and of equal value. One is the weight of these objects, one the value, one the price that she can collect. Now in one pan, God places his will. In the other, the soul places what he does, what she does in it. As the two pans rise, they remain perfectly balanced, and they both elevate to the same level, because since the will of God and that of the soul are one, wherever it operates, whether in God or in the creature, one is the value. My will alone elevates the soul to the likeness of her creator. What is done in it places her in the order of the divine works. So God is one single act. And this passage really explains as well about the multiplicity of the acts of the eternal volition. In God, we see many acts in creation, but they are nothing other than the effects of the one act of God. To explain this, Jesus gives Louisa an example of sun. Sun is one, its light is one, but as it light touches the earth, it rapidly extends over the earth and produces so many innumerable effects. And the same thing happens with our soul when we live in the divine will. When we take his divine will as our life, when we give it the primary right of ours, all our acts, his will and our will become one. And so it has the same value as if it's done by us. This is really the beauty, the amazing part of living in the divine will. Our Lady's one simple act, for example, drinking water, winking our eyes, or sweeping, all these normal human acts that are rather insignificant, is greater than all the acts of saints and martyrs altogether, because it's no longer our human acts, but divine act, because it encloses God the Almighty. When we truly love God, it's gonna be easier. Like when we try hard to do it on our own, it's very hard. And we think that we have to earn his love and to do certain things in order to obtain his gift. We're trying so hard to make it work, but God loves us with our imperfection, with our imperfections. God loves us so much, and he's so much in love with our souls. And many times I also forget that I am loved by God as who I am. But then, and I also try to make myself lovable, try to please others, try to be approved. But then that's all not necessary with God, because he loves us helplessly. And when we truly come to realize this great love, we'll not judge others or find faults in others, compete with others, because they are also so much loved by God. And we just have to receive and feel his love. It's not something that we have to work hard to gain. You know, just like a child has blind trust in parents' love, so we also have to trust in our Heavenly Father's love for us. So recognizing his love in all creatures and giving back his love is the rounds of love, and it's all about living in the divine will.
Amen.
Yeah, so as Sister was saying, like all these little acts that Mother Mary did, like sweeping, mopping the floor, lighting the fire, she did it all in the divine will. And all those acts Mother Mary did, they were infinitely greater than like all the acts of the saints put together. And then the passage I chose today is from Volume 1. And in Volume 1, Jesus is really like purifying Louisa, preparing her for preparing her heart and her soul to for the more knowledges that are to come in the other volumes. So in this passage I chose, Jesus talks to Louisa about the necessity of the spirit of mortification. So the passage goes, "He always added that everything should be done for love of him, and that the most beautiful virtues, the greatest sacrifices, would become insipid if they did not take origin from love. Charity, he said to me, is a virtue that gives life and splendor to all of the others, in such a way that without it, they are all dead. My eye receives no attraction, and they have no power over my heart. Be careful, then, and let your works, even the least ones, be invested by charity, that is, in me, with me, and for me. When I was reading, this reminded me how, yes, it's important to do acts and rounds, but it's also important to have the right motive to do these acts and rounds, to do it out of love for Jesus, and not just like doing these acts and rounds just because someone told us to, but doing it like out of love for God. Because in our last judgment, God's not going to ask us, like, how many works did you do? God's going to ask us, like, how many works did he do out of love for me? And this also reminded me of like the importance of praying for the right motive of wanting the gift of the divine will. So just not, so like not wanting the gift like only for ourselves, only to impress others or get a higher place in heaven, but to get this gift to give like for like God's honor and glory, and not wanting this gift just for ourselves, but just for everyone. So continuing with the passage. So let's go back to mortification. He said to me, I want all your things, even the necessary ones, to be done in a spirit of sacrifice. See, your works cannot be recognized by me as mine if they do not have the mark of mortification, just as a coin is not recognized by the peoples if it does not carry on itself the image of their king. Even more, it is despised and neglected. The same with your works. If they do not have the graft of my cross, they cannot have any value. And this reminded me of like mortifying our human will, not giving into our human will and our human desires, and giving God the right of way, giving up our human will to do and to live in God's will.
Thank you, sister.
That's wonderful. I think about, it was when we were reading up as about, looking through and about, you know, the Corinthians, the verse about love and just how much love endures, right? Mm-hmm. And how much God's love has and will continue to endure with us and be patient with us and be kind with us and be merciful. And the gift it is to receive that love, because it's a love that we don't see it in the world in a lot of ways, and it's distorted, and it can be a hidden love, right? Like the sacrifices that maybe other, like no one but God will see, and there's something beautiful too about that, of like knowing, okay, Lord, like this is for you, like the marriage, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm serving you, like this is, you know, with your love, God, because I can't do anything alone, like I can't do anything on my own, and I need your strength and your love and your will. And I was reading through a lot of, I love just opening up this book of heaven, and I find that every time I open it up, the Holy Spirit just like fills me with so much joy and love, and I just am like, so good.
I feel the same way, sister. I feel the same way.
It's so such a gift. Wow. I really don't have words most of the time, but this is Jesus. What he's talking about here is kind of like, yeah, this gift, and also it's kind of like, oh, Lisa was talking about just her littleness, like she does, you know, like all of us, like, oh God, like I how, like, you know, and just, and she said, or what did she say?
What volume?
This is volume. Oh yeah, this is volume 20, I believe. Yes, May 22nd, 1932. And where is she? Okay, she says, But while I was wandering amid so many knowledges as to be incapable of repeating anything, I feel I am stammering. I lack the right terms, and in order to not speak nonsense, I move forward. And my lovable Jesus, compassionating my incapacity and littleness, clasped me to himself in his arms and told me, "My blessed daughter, you are right that your littleness feels itself being drowned under the immensity of my light, of my love, and of the innumerable truths that our adorable and holy being contains. But our power and immensity delights in filling the creature so much with light, with love, with manifold knowledges of ours, with sanctity to the point of drowning her. It is one of the most beautiful scenes to see the creature as though drowned in our immensity, wanting to speak and being drowned with light, with love, with surprising truths. Oh, how beautiful it is that she wants to speak of what she feels, and our waves invest her and reduce her to silence." And then it continues to talk about, like, he's talking about being our teacher, and really the gift of the divine will is, and I think continuing on here, it says, our gift, which will be her guide in order to know our divine being, facilitating for her the unfolding of the kingdom of the divine will in her soul. And it will be her guide in the order of natural things. It will be the hand that guides her in everything. It's really God being our guide. And I think of the passage of Jesus and the Good Shepherd, and you're talking about the sheep and the wolves earlier, Cyril talked about, and we are his little sheep, and he's bringing us close into his arms, into his love, into his heart, the divine will, the heart of his love and his glory and goodness. So just keep reading the divine will, the book of heaven, and he will reveal to you the truth, and he continues to talk about how he will just pour that out.
Absolutely. He definitely is bringing us together. Sister, you're so right about that, and we're thankful for that. Anyone, 1 minute, any closing thoughts, comments?
I just would like to say something, Peter. So in other words, listening to all of us talking here, sharing, it's all about loving God, taking love from him and returning this love to him, back to him. It's a marriage. It's a union of the souls. That's what I get from it.
And don't worry, I won't start singing it, but all you need is love.
I'll do it for you. All you need is love. Yes. I can't play the trombone, though. But I'd like to end with this, though. The question arises spontaneously. How can a human creature not only do the will of God, but even possess it on his own? Exactly on this point, our Lord again displays to Louisa all his plans, solemnly declaring that this is a gift that he has decided to do and give in these times so sad, and love calls love. All you need is love. Love, everyone. Thank you, God. Thank you, Blessed Mother. Thank you, Radio Maria. Thank you, sisters.
Goodbye. Bye.